Hello and welcome to another grown man talking to himself alone episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and the next chapter from my novel, Soul. As usual, if you'd like to know more about this week's chapter, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This week is Chapter 8, Brothers in Arms. Neither Valkyr nor Seeker had said a word since returning to the skin drum. Letting themselves back in, they headed straight to the bar, and Seeker pulled off a pint each. Not even bothering to take a stool down off the bar, they both stood there and finished their drinks in one long draught. "What the fuck was that?" Valkyr finally managed as he came up for air.
"The fuck was Levi Prime," Seeker responded. "You just saw what it's like being a copy."
"But he killed a man. No one said anything. No one even reacted." Valkyr was visibly shaking now. "What about the police? Can we tell them?"
Seeker laughed bitterly. "They don't see it as a murder. Where's the corpse?"
He shook his head.
"Also, Levi's a super. He can do pretty much whatever he wants."
"But that's not right," Valkyr said softly. "That man had a life. He was trying to..."
Valkyr trailed off as he looked at Seeker.
"Can he do that to you too?"
"Of course he can. I'm just another copy," Seeker shrugged.
Suddenly, Valkyr's hands were holding his so tightly it hurt. They were face to face over the bar top. Seeker could see the determination in Valkyr's eyes, as if he was trying to will strength to him.
"You are not just a copy. You are your own man. You are my friend. You will find a way through this," Valkyr said fiercely.
Seeker tried to pull away. He closed his eyes and started to shake his head. Valkyr jerked him back closer, their skin almost touching. Seeker's eyes flew open and was captivated by what he saw in Valkyr's. Valkyr breathed out softly.
"You don't see it now, my friend, and that's okay. I am happy to believe enough for the both of us until you can."
Seeker felt how warm Valkyr was, how much his words meant to the both of them. The faintest glimmer of hope and of something else flickered in the Seeker's chest, weak and scared like a small bird. It was there, though. Then the moment was broken, and they released their clasped hands and stepped back, awkward and uncomfortable. Seeker busied himself with drawing another pint each and setting up behind the bar while Valkyr began pulling stools off the bar. They worked quietly together for a while, glancing at each other while trying to not show it. They had been working in silence for a while before Valkyr suddenly spoke up.
"You need to get out of this city."
"What?"
Seeker asked, confused.
"This city. You are dying here. It's killing you. You need to leave," he responded.
Seeker paused.
"Are you trying to get rid of me?"
"No, I want you to stay, but think about it. Even if Levi Prime doesn't come knocking because he needs to know how to run a bar or something stupid, look at you. You're killing yourself slowly trying to deal with this. The drinks, the smokes, you don't think I see how much you've aged in the few months I've known you?"
Valkyr was right. Seeker didn't leave the bar often, but today, seeing the other copies had made Seeker confront just how much of a toll his lifestyle was taking on him. How Levi Prime had not even recognized a copy while looking right at him. Seeker could not remember the last time he'd gotten out of bed and not had a hangover or doubled over in a hacking cough. Or both.
"Where would I go?"
Seeker asked. Not Valkyr, just the world in general. Valkyr answered though.
"Somewhere far away from here. Somewhere where you can live your own life."
He paused and finally looked straight at Seeker.
"Somewhere that Levi Prime can never find you."
They didn't say much more after that. After a while, Valkyr said his goodbyes and mumbled about having to go do something and left. The afternoon passed and Seeker tried to keep himself busy. The things he had seen this morning, the idea of leaving all bouncing around in his head. He was so distracted that he didn't notice at first when Hansy Pete and Steve, near Levi, headed in for their usual afternoon drink. They both sauntered their way up to the bar. Handsy Pete got his usual and happily burbled off to a booth, while Seeker took his time for Steve, so they were left alone at the bar.
"So, Steve, I wanted to ask you something," Seeker started, not sure of how to go about bringing it up. "I saw you with a bunch of other copies. Are you in a cult?"
Real smooth there. He decided to go with,
"How you going? You getting your stipend?"
Steve lowered the pint mug. "Yeah, as shit as it is. Although, you end up with most of it, don't you?" There was no sting to the words. They were true. Steve was in the skin drum most nights.
"Yeah, you put away almost as much as I do."
Seeker cheered on that one. It was also a bit of a lie. Steve still looked like a Levi, while Seeker was starting to look more like a leather handbag.
"Not much else to do, is there? Set for the mission, of course, but that only gets you so far."
Steve looked at Seeker then.
"You know, I've never asked what your mission is, or what I should call you. You don't go by Levi, do you?"
The shudder was enough to answer the second part.
"No, not Levi. I go by Seeker these days," he said with a shrug.
Steve got an interested look on his face then.
"That your mission, then? You looking for something?"
"Something like that," Seeker tried to say casually.
"What about yourself? I don't suppose your mission is to be called Steve, is it?"
Steve laughed. "Nah, it was just the first name I could think of. Mine is, well, there's a reason I drink most days."
Vision swam through Seeker's mind then. How to get away with murder? What flesh tastes like? Learn what depths of depravity you can sink to and still stay sane? Oh God, what was this poor bastard's mission?
Steve saw the slow look of horror creeping over the Seeker's face and laughed again.
"Nah, nothing like what you're thinking. Nah, mate, my mission is to learn how to make the perfect sandwich."
"What? That's..." Seeker trailed off. He knew what having a mission was like. Always having an itch you can't scratch. The feeling of someone watching over your shoulder constantly. Seeker's mission was impossible, but at least it was in pursuit of something grand, something useful. What would he be like if he was brought into this world to be another person's plaything, knowing he only had death to look forward to, and the reason behind it all, the reason for your existence, was to make a sandwich? He understood. No one other than a Levi could.
Seeker raised his mug with a toast. "Fuck that guy. May he die painfully in a fire."
"Amen to that, brother," Steve responded.
"Brother."
Seeker found he liked the sound of that.
Steve continued. "You know, it helps to talk about it with people who actually understand. I know you have your good-looking friend, but he doesn't get you. He never will. There's a group of us that meet, so we can look out for each other."
"Oh yeah?" Seeker tried to not show he already knew about it. Steve didn't seem to notice.
"Yeah, I can take you there tonight if you like. There are always a few of us at the house," Steve offered.
"Sounds perfect, Steve. Is it alright if we head there after I close up?"
"No worries, brother. I'll come back and get you then."
That was Chapter 8, Brothers in Arms. Hopefully it was less dark than last week's episode, as we see Valkyr finally making the bid to help his friend. To begin with, the friendship was simply based on shared loss and loneliness, of seeking self-destruction in a way that didn't leave them feeling alone. But as they spent all the time together, they grew closer and Valkyr could finally offer his thoughts, try and plant the seed of a way out for the Seeker. "I spent a lot of time with the Seeker, developing him into a character and trying to understand him so he was not simply a vehicle for themes or ideas. But of course, I find that I can only begin to truly understand them and let them grow when I put them into situations and let them find their own way out. So it was not until I got to the end of writing this chapter did I realize the Seeker is bisexual, and without him realizing it, he has fallen in love with Valkyr. He, of course, would not admit that to himself yet, as he still hates himself and thinks he's not worth of love, but it was a sweet moment to find.
The showing of what Steve's mission was, again, a surprise to me, as when I was writing it, I knew that his mission had to be diabolical, utterly detestable, to drive him to almost the same levels of self-destruction as the Seeker. I had toyed with a few ideas, but none had stuck, so I finally went into the chapter blind. The sandwich thing, I think, started as a joke, but the more I thought about it, the more it fit. It would be so soul-crushing, so debilitating, that you're brought into this existence for nothing more than some lazy prick to learn how to make a good sandwich. Of course you would give up. As I've said before, I really like the Seeker, and I wanted nothing more than for him to have a great life, to succeed and kick ass, to be the big bad for when Sol tries to track him down. But forcing that would be a disservice to the character. There is no easy way through for him. I had to create him and let him loose, set him on his path, and hope it leads to his happiness. And I hope you're enjoying his ride. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.